So we started a few weeks talking about four things that the enemy uses to distort and to distract people, God's children, away from the promises of God. We learned about delay, how delay can affect, and how none of us like delay. We all want things to happen when we want them to happen and in the time frames that we believe they should happen. But because God knows everything there is to know about everything, and because to everything there is a season, God does things His way. And I don't know about you, but I am thankful for that. I am truly thankful that God does things in His way and in His timing. Then we kind of got stuck on the second one. Deceit. I told my wife, I got to stop studying my notes because every time I do, it just expands. The Holy Spirit just will not release me from this particular topic yet. And here we find ourselves again this morning. We're going to look into and talk a little bit further about deceit in our world and what how the enemy has even manipulated, tricked, connived, and has deceived many church bodies like our own to believe that we have to commit to a relevancy of our current society. That we've got to commit to a relevancy of our current society. In other words, let me just put it plain and simple. We've got to act like the world to win the world. That's not biblical. It's not God's concept. Part of the reason why we've seen that happen is we've gotten away. When I say we, I don't mean us particularly, but I just mean the church in general has gotten away from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've believed in God. We've hung some mistletoe with Jesus, but we've rejected and denied and kicked out the third part of the Godhead Trinity, which Jesus said, I'm going to go, and it's good for you that He comes. But the church universally has neglected, if you will, has gotten away from the power of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said was good for us. He will lead us into truth. Well, without the Holy Spirit, then there is no truth. There may be relevancy. There may be some resemblances of truth because that's how masterful the enemy is. And we're not here to glorify him, but the Bible says, do not be ignorant of his devices. He will let some truth in as long as he can mingle it and mix it with deceit. See, we can even be deceived to think that we can give to God what we want to give to God, and He's got to accept what we give to Him. Yeah, we'll go talk to Cain about that. No, I'm not kidding. And the Lord even said to him, now go home and think about what you just did and come back again. Lord even gave you, He said, consider what you've just done. And I'm giving you the opportunity to change it. We have this mentality today that we can live however we want to live. We can say whatever we want to say. We can go wherever we want to go and act however we want to act, and it's going to be all right because God is love, and therefore God has to love us even though we reject His word. Yes, God is love, and God does love. But we cannot be fooled to believe that we can walk in pure, blatant disobedience any longer to God's word and expect the blessing of God in our lives. You know, so much about the scripture, so much about our lives comes down to honor, to who we will honor. When we honor God, when we put God first, that's what putting God first is. Putting God first means honoring God. When we honor God with our life, Our life is our reasonable act of worship. Our life, the way we conduct ourselves, that is worship to God. Let me say it this way. When you go out and do a good deed today, when you treat somebody with kindness today, when you reach out and bless somebody today and help them, maybe purchasing gifts or giving them some money to meet some needs in their lives or whatever it may be, or a kind word. Heard a story the other night where a family lost everything and they were invited to another family's house. They were from Australia and went to another family's house for Thanksgiving, and they didn't know what Thanksgiving was because they didn't have Thanksgiving in Australia. And at the end of the meal, the family, the father, handed them the keys to their brand new car. Not their used car, not their broken down car, not the one that needed $1,000 to get it up and running car. He gave them the keys to a brand new automobile and said, God said to give you this. That's amazing. How many of you like to be in a position to do that? Well, honor God and he'll put you in that position. Because see, he can't trust you to give a brand new car to somebody when he can't trust you with the $50 you got. Oh, Jesus. But see, when we honor God with what we have and we're faithful with what we have, then God will pour. You think you got now, honor God with what you got and see what you get. He is a good, good father. He is a good, good father. And so we hear stories like this, and we understand that God is faithful. Well, at least we hear God's faithful. Put him to the test. He said, try me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven. He said, check it out. Check it out. See if I won't do this for you. I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing. He said, you won't even be able to contain. How many of you like the windows of heaven to open and blessing to come out that you could not even contain it? And then get to honoring him. Honor him with your time. Honor him. So, what I'm saying there is the guy who gave the keys to the car, what was he doing? He was honoring God. The person who says a kind word to somebody today, what are you doing? That's your reasonable act of worship. That's worship. You know, the keys to the car was worship. The kind word was worship. The meeting somebody's need was worship. Buying somebody a new coat was worship. Buying somebody's kids Christmas gifts for Christmas, that's worship. Having to help paying somebody's hospital bill, that's worship. Helping somebody take care of a financial obligation, that's worship. Loving on somebody today and telling them it's going to be okay, that's worship. Just this, in and of itself, is good. But that's not all there is to worship. Our lives are our reasonable act of worship. Are you with me? But the enemy has tried to deceive us into believing that we can disregard, say disregard, to get us to believe that we can disregard the commands of God, the instruction of God, the word of God, and then somehow get angry with God because he isn't blessing us. Deceits. Believing that we need to. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be relevant in this world. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you what the relevancy is. Because we don't understand relevancy. We don't understand being relevant in our current society today. We've confused it. Because the enemy has deceived us into believing a lie. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 through 18. You get it. Say, I got it. All right. It'll be up on the screen for those of you who don't have a Bible with you. You know, we use cell phones here. We use iPads and laptops and whatever else you electronic device you can pull the word up on, that's okay. We realize you're not, you know, just texting it. Well, we hope you're not just texting somebody. You want to tweet out a quote from the message, go ahead and do it. We We like to get the word out there. You know, it's all right. The Bible says, be ye not. Oh, no, now everybody's going to get uncomfortable. Here, I'll help you. I'll take my coat off. That'll help relax some of you. And that's just because it's warm up here. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness, say righteousness, and unrighteousness, say unrighteousness. Do you know which one you are? Have you settled which one you are? Are you righteous? Are you unrighteous? Or are you the righteously unrighteous? Are you righteous or are you unrighteous? Or are you somewhere in the middle? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He's asking us a question. And what communion hath light with darkness? What in common is light and darkness? I said to somebody the other day, you know, the amazing thing is, darkness cannot overtake light. Can't even remember who I said this to now. You know, you start getting my age, you start forgetting who you tell what to. And I can't even remember who I said it to, but I said, you could be in a dark room and put on the smallest flicker of a candle and it'll illuminate that room. That darkness, regardless of how dark it is, will never, ever, ever overcome that light. It cannot. That light will shine regardless of, it could be as pitch black can be. I've been in some dark places. I mean, literally dark. I was in a cave one time. Anybody ever go caving? I was in a cave one time. Man, a day. It was so dark. And it was when I was a kid in our youth group. Our youth pastor took us there. And we were in this cave. And he tied a rope to all of us so we wouldn't get lost. And Chris is looking over at Ethan like, yes, cave. We're taking the kids. Okay, Ethan said, I ain't going to no cave. They tied ropes to us, Ethan, so we wouldn't get lost. We were all tied together, and we go down in this cave, and we all had our flashlights and all that kind of stuff, you know. And the youth pastor got us into this one big open area, and he said, okay, everybody turn off your lights. I have never experienced dark in my life like that was dark. And he turned on this one little tiny flickering candle thing, and it illuminated that whole room. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, it doesn't matter how dark it gets, as long as there's a light. Oh, man, I don't know, but people like me, you know, I'm type A personality, you know. Man, that fired me up. Because, Sherry, I'm going to be the light. I'm going to shine because there ain't going to be no darkness as long as I'm in the room. That's how I took that. I took that as I have a responsibility to bring light into the darkness, and I'm going to do it. How about you? We have the light of the world living in us. And see, as long as we're shining, the darkness can't overtake us. But you can get in the darkest cave. It was so dark you couldn't see nothing. But as soon as he flicked that light, the darkness had no power. Did you hear me? The darkness had no power. The darkness had no power over the light, but the light overcame the darkness. That's good, isn't it? What commonality do we have with unrighteousness when we're righteous? What communion does the light have with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many glad God just doesn't dwell in buildings anymore? And if you think he does, I'm sorry for you. We're going to pray for you. And we hope by the end of the day he's dwelling in you and not in a building. And I think that's part of the problem we've had in our churches in the last so many years. If we've just entrusted God to a building when he wants to reside in the temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God said, I ain't concerned with living in the building no more. I want to live in your temple. He wants to walk in you and through you. My goodness. Boy, that fires me up. God said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Man, that fuels me. That makes me want to put on Gil's full-length leather coat and cowboy hat. That just, man, that Gil, man. Gil's a man's man. When I grow up, I want to be just like Gil. He is a man's man. I'm telling you right there, that brother, I love that brother. Every time I see him come up, that's a man's man right there. God wants to dwell in you. God wants to walk in you. That is amazing to me. We just don't leave him here on Sunday morning. He goes with us. How many have ever checked him at the door? You know, like a coat. You know, my brother checked me one time. He put me in the trunk of the car because he didn't want me hanging around. He went to his girlfriend's house and left me in the trunk of the car. He checked me. I told you how they taped me to a chair and hung me out a second-story window. They checked me. In other words, they just didn't want me hanging around them. How many as an older sibling know when you don't want the little sibling hanging around you? Get away! We check Jesus sometimes. Because, you know, we can't go to... And I'm not anti-movie. There are some movies I like. Oh, look at you with your all righteousness condemning me. You like movies? I just can't believe it. The pastor watch a movie. You know what? I'll eat popcorn, too. If it's a good one. My wife goes on and she checks out, is there swear words in them? And I mean, we know everything practically about the movie before we even go. We should just save our money. We don't even have to go. We don't like going to things that are laced with just all kind of things that are anti-us. We don't like that. But there are some good, how many of you know there are some good things out there? Not everything's bad. And there's good entertainment sometimes, and we've enjoyed that as well. But, you know, you got to be careful. You just can't let everything in. It's like you can't just go and say, hey, could you stay in the car tonight? Because, you know, I'm going to feel a little uncomfortable. You're, you know, a little something, you're with me, you know. Go to the party. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to leave you out there because, you know, I'm going to need the, you know, I'm going to be getting my groove on in there. And, you know, you can't get your groove on when Jesus is with you, you know. My youth pastor messed with my groove. He did. When he told me everywhere I went, Jesus was there. That hit me like a lightning bolt. And even when you're trying to make out with a girl, he's there. Yeah, he's there. Oh, man. You talk about a serious wet blanket? Come on. He's there. Sometimes we like to leave him. But he said, no, I want to walk with you. That should be a good thing for you and I to know, that he wants to walk with us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be the temple, a place where his spirit dwells. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Here, catch this. Ready? Here it comes. Therefore, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Who's the them? Who are the them we're talking about? There are only two categories of people he's talking about here, light, dark, righteous, unrighteous, right? Come out from among them. Who, were we supposed to come out from among the righteous? No, silly. No. We're to come out from among unrighteousness. In other words, we're not gonna walk in that lifestyle. It doesn't mean that we don't talk to people who aren't saved. It doesn't mean we don't, you know, encourage people. No, we're called to be a light to them. We just don't become like them because we're different than them. We've come out from among them in our way of thinking and in our lifestyle because we've committed to the things and the ways of the Lord. So come out from among them. Be ye what? Be ye what? Be ye what? Come on, don't whisper it. Be ye what? Okay, that five of you got it. Be ye what? be ye separate. We don't like that, because that means we got to stand out. How many like standing out? Some of you do. You're just saying you don't. I've known some of you long enough to know you like to stand out. You do. But we are to be different in our lifestyle, in our actions, in our deeds, in our vocabulary, in the way we live our lives, in the way we operate in our homes, in our families. We're not to be in darkness. We are to be in light. Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Stay away from the sinful things. And he said, and if you do, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. You will be my sons and my daughters. See, we've somehow come to the place where we think relevancy is the size of the handkerchief that the pastor preaches with. Or relevancy is whether he drinks one or two bottles of water and what's the name brand on the water. The way we dress, the way we fix our hair, whether we put ink on ourselves or don't, whether we have fancy lighting, loud music, whether we sing the old rugged cross or the latest, greatest, newest, hippest, latest thing on Christian radio. Whether we black out our sanctuaries. You know, I don't get it. God put a fire in my belly to rescue people. God put a fire in my belly to speak truth to people. God put a fire in my belly to pull and separate darkness from light. Chris, God put a fire in my belly that my entire adult life, I have done everything that I could do to pull people out of darkness. Why are we so attracted to the darkness? Why can we not even worship him in light? Because Sierra, we want the sinner to feel at home. So if we black it out, they'll feel at home. I ain't got no business concerning myself with whether they feel at home. I'm just pulling them out, separating the light from the darkness. Because that's what the scripture says we are to do. Pulling them out. I've spent my entire adult life actually probably seriously committed somewhere in the age of 16, carrying my big old black King James Bible to school with me every day, reading it in study halls. Some of you have heard me tell, you know, we had to have something in our study hall. We weren't allowed to put down our heads. And so if somebody didn't have something to read, I'd give them my Bible. And the funny thing, the teacher would always come to me and say, hey, you got anything they can read? I said, I sure do. The teacher would grab it. He'd start to walk away, and he'd always just look back and kind of give me that side glance like, that's funny. Because, you know, it was always like the really bad kid in class that didn't bring anything because they just didn't care. You know, I'd be highlighting scriptures on salvation, and, you know, I'd be putting book markers in there and all that kind of stuff. I was just wanting to let my light shine. So from really about the age of, called it the age of 12, but from about the age of 16 on up, just trying to pull people out. And you know what I learned? Here's something I learned. You ready? You ready for this? Going to shock some of you. Because in the early days, Jerry, I thought, oh, I got to get down in there. Come on, Dan, I'm going to pull you up. Come on, Dan, I'm going to pull you up. See, now he's going to become a board member. I can pick on him more. You know what I found out, Ethan? I can't get down where they are to pull them up. I got to stay up. You get down in there. Now you got to get yourself back up and get them back up. And I ain't putting Danny on my back and running back up on this platform. I just got to get him up here. And if I can get George and Chris and Gary and Ron and Jim and you and some of you others that are here today to get up on here with me, we can pull them up out of there. We don't have to get down in there to get them out. Yeah, if you're wondering, I'm out of breath. I need a drink of water. You don't have to get in the muck with them to be relevant. What's that got to do with relevancy? What has it got to do with being relevant in our culture today? Spent my entire life trying to pull people out of darkness. To have people say to me in 2017, you just got to become relevant. I just want to say, shut up. You wouldn't know relevancy if it hits you in the... And I know it ain't polite to say, shut up. I just grew up in a time where if you were talking and you weren't supposed to, you got told to shut up. At least that's the way it happened in my house. How about yours? You have to be relevant. Let's tear out the lights and let's put in black lights. Let's cover all the windows and black them out. And let's get ourselves some strobe lights. And let's flicker them real fast all over the place. I got to tell you something. I'd probably, I'd get motion sick. I'd be throwing up every Sunday morning in some churches. They'd be flashing them lights. I'd be like, bleh. What are you doing? We're being relevant. Bleh. Yeah, I'm being relevant. It'd make me sick. Having a disco ball, you know. Did you ever see some of them and the lights hit them? Man, they're like, my eyes are going, woo. My head's spinning 50 miles an hour. I can't even think. We're being relevant. Yeah, you're being relevant, all right. I just think you're being dumb, but that's me. I don't think our churches know what it means any longer to be relevant. I want to give you what it means to be relevant. Are you ready? Because it has nothing to do with what you wear. Sorry. So those of you who think you're relevant because you got on whatever you got on, that don't make you relevant. It ain't that latest hairdo, hairstyle, hair color. It ain't the latest contact craze. I saw somebody wearing some contacts the other day. Just freaked me out. Honestly, they were like blood red with black streaks through them. I was like, ah! I just wanted to lay hands on them, rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. And then I found out he was a pastor and a worship leader. I just didn't even know what to do. I'm just messing with you. But you see all kind of stuff today they call relevant. Am I telling the truth or ain't I? Chris working with youth, man. Relevant. George teaching in a Bible school. Relevant. Here's what relevant means. To be connected with the issue at hand. Being connected to the issue at hand. That's what relevant means. Being connected to the issue at hand. Well, what's the issue? Most people don't even know what the issue is. We ask most people in the church, what's the issue? What's the issue in our community? Drugs? That's not the issue. That's not the issue. Racism? Nope, that's not the issue. Oh, I got it. It's homosexuality. No, believe it or not, that's not the issue. Abortion? No, that's not the issue. I'm going to show you the issue. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. You ready? I'm going to show you the issue. This is the issue. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Here's the issue. Here's the issue with what's wrong with our churches. Here's the issue what's wrong with our homes and our families. Here's the issue what's wrong with our communities. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There's the issue. There's the issue. Because, Karen, if we are not loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, and see, I can't even stand close. It looks like it's going like that to me. That's as close as I need to a strobe light. Love the Lord. That's the issue. The issue is, what do we love? Who are we loving? We're to love the Lord our God. Well, I can love other things before him. No, you can't. You cannot. It's misplaced trust. It's misplaced love. It's deceit. If you think you can elevate anything or anyone above him, you are deceived. And we're ready to pull you out. We're ready to pull you out. The issue is, we've stopped telling people to love the Lord their God with all their heart. We've said it's okay to do what you want and show up when you want, give what you want, act however you want. I said to my wife, probably the biggest mistake, James, when we had a Christian academy that we ever made, was at some point we became more unrighteous than righteous. The darkness was greater than the light. And the light was no, and we were down in trying to pull them up out, and we were down in with them. What in common have darkness and righteousness? You let enough unrighteousness in your righteousness. Come on. You let enough unrighteousness in your righteousness. Because the unfortunate fact is, most who are righteous aren't really living righteous enough to pull that darkness out. But when you are truly living a committed life to the Lord, where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, that means he is the number one uno priority in your life. He is number one. You love him with all your soul and all your mind. You can't get up without him. You can't live without him. You can't eat without him. You can't go anywhere without him. You can't give without him. You can't serve without him. You're consumed with being like him. And I don't know why. I don't know how that became a bad thing. Man, because he speaks things and they happen. That's the way I want to be. His anointing was on people. Peter walked by people and they got healed just because a shadow fell on them. He didn't even have to touch them. He didn't have to hit them with a coat. He didn't have to blow wind on them. He didn't have to do nothing. He just walked by them. Could you imagine being so filled with the Holy Ghost, you walk by somebody and they get healed just because your shadow fell on them? My goodness. A mosquito bites you and becomes Pentecostal. Because I thought that'd take a while to sink in. That was pretty good, huh? You got that real fast. You guys are on the ball this morning. He bites you, he don't fall over dead. He just falls out under the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, now that's being radical, preacher. Hey, how about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? This is the first great commandment. It's twofold. It's two part. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thine. Oh, okay, you had me with loving God. Man, I was getting cool with that, Pastor. I was getting, you know, I was jiggy with it. I don't even really know what that means. But, you know, that's being relevant, yo. You went, yo, yo. Ha, ha, yeah, man. Yo, I'm down with that, bro. Maybe we get some more people I talk like that, huh? Wear a big old chain around my neck and be like, yo, yo, Chris, what's up, dog? George, my homie. You imagine George and I being homies? We're two of the most straight-laced white dudes you're ever going to meet in your life. And I know Danny Dunlap in his early days kind of looked a little bit like Vanilla Ice, but that's a whole other story. Oh, my Jesus. How about love your neighbor? You know, I was getting with you there, Pastor, on loving God, but now you mean I got to love that fool next to me? Yeah. How many find it hard to love people sometimes? How many have ever just said, if it weren't for people, if it weren't for people, life would be really good? How many of you ever just thought, man, people are just screwed up? People are just messed up. We're all messed up some way or another in our lives, aren't we? Everybody got a little something going on. Oh, let me say, everyone, yo, got a little something going on, don't you, Dale? You down with that, dog? Wait, let me get a sip of my beer under here. Next Sunday, let's get a tattoo artist, man. That'd be rad. Let's get somebody up here and they can tattoo us during the service. Because then, dude, George, we'll be relevant, man. I don't know, just because we don't say dude, dog, and all that don't mean we're not relevant. I think I'm relevant because I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart. I want to be relevant in the world. I need to be relevant with God. And the issue is we need to get back to loving God and loving each other. That's relevancy. That's the issue at hand. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe on him would be what? Saved. Would be saved. That's relevant. What's the world need to hear today? They need to hear today that there is a God that loves them and forgives them. And would to God that none would perish. You know, the scripture says, Jesus, would that none, he desires that none. But you know what the implication there, Chris, is? You know the implication. The implication is some will. He said he would that none, which implies. See, sometimes you got to know what it's saying. And love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments. Man, where's our time go? Where does our time go? On these two commandments hangs all the law of the prophets. Very simple. Love the Lord. Love people. The enemy of your soul has convinced people today that they don't need to love God and that they don't need to love each other. Why do we see people doing some of the most crazy, vile things that we see happening in the world today? Because they have no love or fear of God and they don't care about one another. If you want to stop being deceived today, how many of you want to stop being deceived? How many of you want to be relevant in the world that we live in today? Then the key is being like God. The key is being like God. I'm going to close with this hint, and we'll get back to it again. The Ten Commandments are broken into two different segments, in case you didn't know it. The first four commands in the Ten Commandments are all about our relationship with God. First four. The following six are our relationship with one another, with people. First four are all about our relationship with God. The following six are about our relationship toward people. Which, let me just say this in closing. If our first four ain't right, in our let me just simplify it more for you. If our relationship toward God isn't right, then Marine, we might as well forget it. Our relationship with people will not be right. Will not be right. You want to be relevant? Get connected with the issue at hand. And the issue at hand is we need to love the Lord our God. We need to love each other. That's the issue. That's the heart of the matter. And the matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. We have to get down to what really is the issue. The issue is we've resisted God, we've rejected God, and we've pushed God away. And the result of that is, Jerry, it's very simple. People have lost all affection and concern for one another in the world today. It's dog eat dog, step on whoever you can step on. The only thing you need to be concerned with is getting to your strobe lights and flat. You just get to the top. I don't know about you, but getting there, Amy, I want to pull as many people along as I can. You want to rattle the cages of hell. Start getting relevant. Start getting relevant. Me being relevant isn't cussing in my sermons to you. You know all that proves to you? What it should prove to you is if I had to cuss to you in my sermons, it means I ain't the right guy to be behind a pulpit. And you shouldn't be listening to me. That's not relevant. Yeah, but we like to follow a guy that sins just like us. Okay. Then you're in the wrong place. Go find you one of them. Go find you one. And we'll welcome you back when you come back. That's not relevant, man. We've got to get back to the power and the truth of God's word. We got to start believing what he said. We got to start speaking what he says. And then watch the power of God explode in our midst. And people will flock. They'll flock because people are hungry for something. They just don't know what they're hungry for. And we've got truth to offer them. So let's be relevant. Let's be truthful. Let's be godly in our actions, in our deeds. It's not about what I think. It's not about how I feel. It's about what he says. Are you with me? It's about what he says. Worship team, come on back to the platform. We're going to pray. We went over a little bit this morning, but Steelers don't play later. And hey, if we honor God this morning, maybe he'll let them win. And so, you know I don't believe that. You know I don't believe that. But you don't have to settle into around 4:15 if you're going to watch the game. And I know you got lunch coming and excited about that. Hey, listen, if anybody's excited about eating, you know, I like me a good meal. But, man, I've just enjoyed the meal we've had so far. How about you, Karen? I enjoy coming. You know, the funny thing is I minister to myself as much as I minister to you. Sometimes I think I even get more out of it than you do. I really do. Sometimes I'm looking at your faces wondering, you getting anything out of this? But I know I'm getting, I do. I bless myself preaching, Jerry. I do. I enjoy preaching. I just said to my wife the other day, I said, I need to preach more. 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 I got to pull people out. God, I see them in darkness. I got to pull them out. I can't walk by and watch them in darkness. I got to pull them out. Karen, we got to throw a rope. We got to pull them out. But we don't want to pull them to something that ain't no different than what they're already in. We got to pull them to the truth. You with me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for our time spent here this morning. God, help us to pull those who are lost and broken that you put in our paths. Lord, we're not going to pull everyone out of darkness. Not everybody's even within our geographic area to pull out of darkness. It's not even possible for us here to pull everyone out of darkness. Lord, maybe there's someone we can pull out of darkness. Maybe there's someone in our family. Maybe there's someone in our circle of influence. Maybe there's someone at the store today. Maybe there's someone at the restaurant today. Maybe there's someone we're going to come in contact with this week. Lord, I know we can't get everybody, but the ones that you place in our path, give us the courage to pull them up out. Speak words of truth and love and grace and mercy to them. Let them know that there's a God that loves them. You're not mad. You're not mad at them. You're not angry with them. You're not just looking to destroy them. You came that we might have life, but we can reject that. And the consequences of our rejecting and pushing you away are what they are. It's not what you want, but it is what it is. If we accept you and walk in you, we live in life, and we have life. We reject you, we enter death, pain and suffering for eternity. You tell us in your word, choose. You said very simply, choose. I pray today that we would choose wisely as we stand at the crossroads of righteousness and unrighteousness, light and dark. Lord, if we're teeter-tottering somewhere in the middle, challenge us today. Challenge us today that we take a stand. You didn't die on the cross for us to be in the middle. You said that we would be hot or cold. If we were lukewarm, you'd spew us out of your mouth. Give us preachers today that'll preach the truth. Give us ears to hear the truth. Give us good, godly men and women and young men and young women who will pull people up out of the dark. Help us to be examples to our babies, to our children, to our little ones, to our teenagers. God, may the seeds we plant in our daily lives and their lives be good seeds. May they be righteous seeds. Help us, Father. Help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love our neighbors today, that we would be about the matter at hand. And that's being relevant with your love, your words, your grace, your mercy, your truth. Bless these who have heard this message today, whether it's here in the building or it's through the internet. We pray your blessing, Lord, in their lives as they apply the things that they've heard today. We've cried some today. We've laughed some today. We've hugged today. That's a good day. That's a good day. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless our coming and our going. Bless our rising and our sitting. May our lives be a reasonable act of worship. We give you glory.